This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. And wherever you get your, not wherever you get your smart speaker, that wouldn't make any sense. It's wherever you get your podcast and also on your smart speaker. Now, I don't know, maybe wherever you get your smart speaker, you can go and listen to the Max Kellerman Show. But that's only if you've downloaded the podcast, I suppose. You agree with KD and Draymond? They kind of put the blame on Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, the GM, president of Golden State Warriors. Draymond asked KD point blank, is that why you left? Our argument. He said, no, it was the way it was handled by the organization. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Draymond's interview on Chips on Bleacher Report was really something. You know, there's something about it. Look, modern media, today's media, with social media and everything, athletes are increasingly realizing we don't need the mainstream platforms the way we once did. We can message, so to speak, we could send out our own messages and control our own narratives and bypass mainstream media a bunch. And they're not wrong. They can. I mean, mainstream media can still be very helpful to them amplifying their message, but it's not we are not necessary to them the way we used to be. And it's one thing if it's, you know, you're controlling the narrative in a real softball way. But when you're willing to have a candid interview and put that out publicly, not 10 years after you retire, but right in the middle of your career, there's real value in that. You know, we're seeing a side of players that we wouldn't ordinarily see while they're active. And I think in that setting, an interviewer like Draymond Green, who's been through a lot of the things KD has been through. He knows what it is to come up as a little kid dreaming of the NBA, actually making it to the NBA, right? Playing at the highest level, winning championships, the whole thing. When he asks KD a question, even if it's not about them, that you're going to get things out of KD that illuminate the situation more than if someone like if I ask KD a question. Because KD even said it early in the interview. He said, you know, when I was first in the league, I thought, oh, the media knew more than me. And then as after a couple of years went by, I realized, wait a minute, that question's not very direct. That's not a very intelligent question. Because when you're at a distance, when you're not actually going through it, when you're relying on the subject to give you the information, you're trying to draw it out of them. Your questions won't be as to the point. They're to the point, like in terms of what the media believes the public wants to hear. But maybe the subject of the interview, the famous athlete, goes, yeah, but that's not really what this is about. And Draymond can ask the questions to KD of what it's really about, especially since these two guys are talking about an incident between them. That's really something. I was riveted by the interview. Now, the one false note where I thought, guys, come on, is when Draymond said, hey, did you leave Golden State because of our dispute? And KD said, no, it was the way the organization handled it. Now, I think the organization can learn something. KD and Draymond are here giving a blueprint saying, hey, guys, this is how not to do something. This would have gotten a better result from us, we believe. And it'll be useful for Steve Kerr and Bob Myers to look at what they're saying and try to implement some of their suggestions, I would assume. But what's conspicuous is that Bob Myers isn't in the room. Steve Kerr's not in the room. These two guys are in the room, and now they're being friends. They're making friends, KD and Draymond. And very conveniently, no, it wasn't anything either one of those two did. It was what the front office did and the way they handled it. I'm not denying that the front office could have handled it better, especially if Draymond and KD are here saying, this is what we didn't like. What I am saying is you were both adults. You were both adults when this happened. The only reason they would punish Draymond is to placate you, KD. If that wasn't going to do it, then you should probably go to the team at the time and be like, oh, Draymond and I will figure this out. Because they would have backed off. Now, if that turns you off, KD, because like, why should I have to do that? The organization should know better. Okay. All right. I still wouldn't say that's why you left, right? Especially when Draymond is out here saying that he thinks after the second one, you pretty much were out. Maybe that's not true. But that's the only moment in the interview where I was like, this is not exactly as forthcoming as I would have liked. It's a little bit convenient because the guys they're talking about aren't in the room and they're making nice with each other. But even in that, you see it's like you see something illuminated there. You do get useful information. Like there's a place for traditional media for someone like me to say, hold on a second, guys. You're both adults, you know, you're also both very smart and worldly experienced adults at this point who've experienced more life than most people, at least professionally, and you've seen the world and the whole thing. You couldn't just tell the front office to back off and work it out yourself. Like that could have been a follow up there. Wait, you guys are friends now, so you don't want to blame each other. But so you miss that part, not having a third party there who's in the business, right? But you got a whole lot of other stuff that I don't think you do get if there's a third party there who's in the business. A certain kind of frankness and forthrightness and candor from both guys, especially KD, who was the interview subject, that you might sacrifice to just have that other question asked. I was riveted. I thought Draymond did a great job. It's not that he has a future in the business. The future is now. He's in the business, right? Look at that. And KD is not only maybe the best basketball player in the world, maybe the best athlete in the world, right? But a really interesting guy. He has come into his own over the years, and we've watched it happen. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. I got to get into Shohei Ohtani, but I'm going to take some calls first. What Shohei Ohtani is doing. Joe in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, I wanted to say, I don't think Draymond did a great job at all. I think he was just trying to paint a picture and wanted to excuse everything. For them to blame the front office and to bring up the whole Chicago Bulls thing, like, oh, they talked it out with Scottie and this and that. They're just making excuse after excuse. They're like you just said, they could have all talked to each other. They didn't need the front office.
But
to
wait
tell
a minute,
them,
Joe,
oh,
I agree with that. That's why I just talked about that for 5 minutes. I agree with that point. That's why I talked about it for 5 minutes. I said that was the false note. But when you say Draymond didn't do a good job at all, I'm claiming, hey, here's where a professional in the business for a long time who's a third party, not an athlete, may have held his feet to the fire more. But in every other aspect of the interview, or let me ask you another question. Give me one other aspect of the interview that you didn't like. Because that's the only thing I can find.
He didn't bring up anything about Steph. He didn't
bring
up anything
about Steph. Stephen A.
brought
that up on the air today, yep.
Mm. He didn't. What else did he do? That's tough to remember everything right now, but I just don't think he did a good job.
Well, the Steph thing is a legitimate point.
The Steph thing
is a legitimate point, but I think that's tied to why did you leave? Like that gets, you know, maybe someone else sits there and goes, wait a minute. It's not because it was Steph's team, you know, and it could never be your team. I think that's all tied into the same point. And also, I got to say something. Draymond Green is an active member of the Golden State Warriors, who have championship aspirations for good reason once Klay gets back and look at the draft haul they got and the drafts they just had. And Wiggins, by the way, has become an underrated player, actually. Too good two-way player. You want, like, how much do you want from an active player who's still on the team? Like, yes, I guess you're right. If he wasn't still active, if he had years removed from the situation, he should bring up Steph. I do understand that given his position, there are limits to what he is going to talk about. I still think that KD gave you more insight into what makes him tick and that whole situation than you would have gotten from anyone else. Brian in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Brian in California.
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question about Cleveland Doo-Doo Browns. You think they're really going to make the playoffs this year?
First of all, Brian is not from California. He sounds like he's from the Bronx. Yeah, how you doing? I've got to ask you about...
I was, you know, boxing, but yeah, I live here now. So.
See, oh yeah, you were from the Bronx originally, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. Nailed it. Just like that. Like this. I'm snapping into the mic in case you can't hear it. Just like that. What about the Cleveland Browns? What do you want to take a shot from California by way of the Bronx? What do you want to take a shot about the Browns on? What exactly?
Last season, they had the number one and number three running back in the league.
Yep.
What'd they do with it? Nothing.
Hold on. Nothing. Wait a minute. They made the playoffs by beating the Steelers on the last day of the season. Then they beat the Steelers in the playoffs. And then they lost to the Chiefs by one score. I wouldn't say they did nothing. And the reason they had the number one and three running backs in the league, according to some standards, is because they had the best offensive line in the league, both protecting the passer and blocking for the run, which is highly unusual. They are a threat again this year. All right, let's get to the Goodyear hotline. We'll talk about Ohtani in a little bit. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Jeff, how important is tonight's game for Cam and Mac Jones?
You know what? Really important. I'm not saying that we're going to know based off of this game who the starter is in New England. I wouldn't expect Bill Belichick to make or at least announce that decision until probably midweek before week one. I mean, he's got no reason to at this point. But look, the language from Bill Belichick has changed dramatically since the day Mac Jones was drafted, when he declared Cam Newton is our quarterback, his exact words. Now, when you hear him talk, it feels like a competition has ensued in New England. And quite honestly, based on my conversations with people in New England, Mac Jones is doing all the right things behind the scenes, and I definitely do feel that the gap is closing a little bit.
What are the right things that he's doing behind the scenes?
So this person told me, basically what I wanted to know is, like, we see preseason games, we see camp practices, and we can make our assessments with our eyes. But what I'm curious about is in meeting rooms, in the locker room. Like, is this guy acting like a veteran? And the answer to that question is yes, that he is a very hard worker, that he studies hard, that he is handling his teammates the right way, and he's doing the things behind the scenes that are exactly the types of elements, the types of qualities that you would, if you're the Patriots, be comfortable saying, okay, this guy can be a starting quarterback for us.
That's huge with a young quarterback. It's something that Michael Vick talks about, right? When he was young and so talented, he wishes he could go back and tell himself, like, you know, put in that work that, like, Mac Jones is putting in now. That's huge. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. So who has the inside edge, Jeff, on the starting gig? Is it Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones? Who has the best inside edge, do you think?
That's a good question, because those three guys are in a similar spot. But I got to say Justin Fields, and I say that mostly because when you consider what's there, Andy Dalton, I'm sorry, Andy, you don't have any goodwill in Chicago built up.
Right.
Like, people want to compare that situation to, like, Kansas City with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. The difference there is Alex Smith had done a lot for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he went to the playoffs. Andy Dalton hasn't played for these guys yet.
Hasn't even played for them. Hasn't even had a cup of coffee. So the loyalty does not exist the way it does with some veterans like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua in Miami. It's not the same thing. So for that reason, I think that Justin Fields, the more that he electrifies and the more he brings the fan base with him, the more Matt Nagy's going to say, you know what, it is time for me to get
Yeah, it's really – you're right, Jeff. Talking to Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. It really is interesting when you think about the rookie quarterbacks, right? Because I could frame it another way. Who will be the last guy to start? You know Trevor Lawrence is going to start. You figure pretty soon Justin Fields is going to start. Zach Wilson's going to start. And that leaves Trey Lance and Mac Jones. And while Cam would seem to have Jimmy G, they went to a Super Bowl with Jimmy G, right?
One.
But he's injury prone.
Yeah.
My guess would be Trey Lance will be the last one to start, even if Jimmy G gets hurt, which is a pretty good likelihood. Let's say it's week, I don't know. It's not, it's on average, it'll happen halfway through the season, back half of the season.
Right.
Everyone else may be starting by then.
I think it's a toss-up when it comes to Trey Lance and Mac Jones. Very, in my opinion, similar situations. And Cam Newton, by the way, I mean, he's pretty prone to getting hurt too. So honestly, I think Kyle Shanahan is probably chomping at the bit more to get Trey Lance in the game because he does the things that Kyle loves. As it's put to me, Kyle is tired of having a statue quarterback. That's a little bit of a knock on, a little too much of a knock on Jimmy, but he just wants mobility. That's what Kyle wants. Belichick might want the same, but I just think that he'll be more patient with Mac Jones getting him in there. That said,
If Belichick wants mobility, he won't go to catch the difference. Newton is the guy with the big arm and the mobility, but not accurate down the field all the time. Jeff, by the way, I got to tell you something. I'm gonna put you up on something that someone put me up on when I was still on Around the Horn. So going back, I don't know, 15, 17, 18 years, whatever it was. Did you know it's champing at the bit? Now, chomping is now accepted
because so chomping?
Yes, because so many people now say
it?
So many people now say chomping that's now kind of accepted, but it's actually champing at the bit, and I didn't know that until I was 30 years old.
Like, as I'm saying that, I don't even know what champing at the bit means.
I think it's horses, really want to get going. They're champing at the bit in their mouth.
What does it mean? But what is a champ?
Chomping makes sense. That's right. Chomping makes sense. What's champing?
But does it? Like, what is chomping at the bit? What is the bit?
Chomping, the bit is the thing that goes in the horse's mouth. So they're like, they want to go. They want to get going.
See, I didn't even know that was a great point. Like, I literally just pulled it. Like, I don't even know what that means.
But you bring up a great point. What the hell is champing? Why is that right when chomping actually makes sense?
Yeah, my least favorite one that people do is they say, I could care less. It's actually you couldn't care less.
I'd never understood the I could care less thing. I even tried to logic that one out, Jeff, like, well, I could care less. Is it being sarcastic? But wait a minute. How would that work? It's clearly I couldn't care less.
I think it just people messes it up somehow. Yeah. I don't know. But I just said that. I didn't even know what it meant.
Yeah.
And as I'm saying, I'm like, I don't even know what this means. And I'm glad you called me out.
Before we get to the taunting rule, can I tell you something that – so many people have misused the word disinterested, as meaning uninterested, which is like disinterested means like objective, like a scientist is disinterested observer, as opposed to uninterested.
Really?
I'm not interested in this, right? That so many people have misused it.
There's no reason.
Yeah, the
there's
New Yorker no now messes that up. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Listen, Jeff
Darling. Uninterested is perfectly fine, but we say disinterested because it sounds like a more sophisticated way of saying uninterested.
I guess, but I don't even know how anyone could accept it when you have another word that means what that means, and disinterested has its own other meaning. All right, listen, Jeff, before we get on too much of a tangent, will the NFL actually enforce this ridiculous taunting rule?
No.
They won't.
This is the exact same thing we see every year. Remember when everybody freaked out about the running back lowering the helmet? And everybody was like, oh, this is ruining the game. Mm-hmm. And the penalty didn't get called until December one time on Ezekiel Elliott. Like every year there is an enforced rule. The NFL comes into these meetings and they tell us all these reporters and we all freak out. We get all over them. And then they throw one flag in the preseason and we freak out. And we get all over them. And then we never talk about it again.
Yeah.
Like there is no way that in like some meaningful week 17 game, that guy that we're talking about that carried a pile 10 yards and
LeMay
stood up and barely said anything. Yeah. There's no way that gets called in a meaningful game. There is no
way. Who needs the anxiety though, Jeff? What do we need to be anxious about that for,
I think that's why the NFL does it. I think the anxiety of it is exactly what they want. It's like, it's just the idea of it. It's like me telling my son, like, we're going to go home right now if you're bad, even though I'm sitting there like, I'm not going home. I just got a new beer. Like,
you do that too? Because I'm in hot water nowadays for doing that, because I do the same thing. I go too quickly to the, if you do that, you have to go in the other room. I go too quickly to that, and I realize, oh, damn it, she's probably going to do it again.
And then I go too far.
Yeah, and then, by the way, then I want to reason with her. Oh, come on. Be a sport. Like, don't do it again. But I've already said it, so now I got to take her out of the room, apparently. Apparently, those are the rules. You got to do what you say you're going to do with kids.
I don't do it, though. I don't do it. I'm just like, look, dude, just don't make me leave. Like, I didn't mean that. Let's call it.
Jeff, what we have to do, both of us, in terms of parenting, is we have to not go to that spot that quickly.
You can't negotiate the consequence. Because once you go to that
consequence spot too quickly, you've boxed yourself. That's the whole problem.
Yep, 100%.
You know, maybe I might want to do a parenting for the lazy man or something. I don't know. There's something there.
By the way, that's also redundant. I mean, we're all lazy.
Yes,
Anybody who tells you otherwise.
Yeah, that's why we talk about sports for a living instead of getting real jobs. Right, of course.
Yeah.
Jeff Darlington, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL reporter. Jeff, always like having you on. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Max.
The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming up. Big Ben, Baker, Lamar. Don't forget about the up-and-coming Bengals. Who wins the AFC North? 5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Not anymore. Because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. All on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. About to give you my AFC North preview, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. One of the best divisions in football. If there's a game, someone's betting on it. Stream season two of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming. The very excellent Mike Greenberg, only on ESPN Plus. All right,
and
AFC
now,
North preview. Yeah, oh yeah, I want to hear the voice of God. Come on.
Yeah, don't cut off the production. We put a lot of time into this. Go ahead, hit it again, B.
And now, Max Kellerman's AFC North preview.
All right, ready for this? This is going to be some in-depth analysis. Browns, Ravens, Steelers, Bengals. Thanks, good night. No, okay, look, this is how it goes. This is how it goes. Let me give you my reasoning. I think the Browns are the class of the division. And the reason I think they're the class of the division is they're ascending. They're still getting better. As I keep saying, Pro Football Focus gave them the highest grade last year on the offensive line, both in run blocking and in pass protection. Every year there's a number one offensive line, but rarely is it graded number one by Pro Football Focus in both. That was the Browns. Now, they return Odell Beckham Jr. to an offensive unit that was doing fine without him, which means given his age, 28, 29 years old, given the fact that Baker Mayfield didn't look good with Odell, and given the fact that Odell is more of a team player than people realize, he is going to contribute to that offense. They're going to get better. Remember, they won 11 games last year in the regular season. They beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on the last week of the season and advanced in the playoffs until they lost to the Chiefs by a single score. Ravens are very good. And on offense, Jarvis Landry and the two running backs behind that offensive line and the whole thing, they got a lot. And Baker's a good quarterback. Defensively, they're also, I'd say they're a good defensive team. Not a great defensive team, but a good defensive team. Okay. I think that makes them the class of the division. However, it's a very competitive division. The second best team, to me, is the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens have a very good defense. I'd say a better defense even than the Cleveland Browns. They also have a dynamic quarterback. Lamar Jackson's better than Baker Mayfield, at least has been to this point in his career. To wit, Lamar Jackson's won an MVP. An MVP! And now he's won a playoff game. And if you see the trajectory of Lamar's career, first time he was in the playoffs, he was one of the worst quarterbacks you ever want to see in the first half of that game. Deer in headlights. And then by the second half, he'd already gotten better. Next time he was in the playoffs, he was pretty good. And they lost, but he was pretty good. Every year he seems to make strides, then he won a playoff game. Okay, that's a former MVP who seems to be getting better under pressure on a better defense than the Browns, but they don't have the offensive weapons that the Browns have. They just don't. You know, I get Rashad Bateman should help them as a receiver. They've done certain things, but they don't have the dynamism in the offense that the Browns have. And for that reason, I'll put them second, even though Lamar Jackson's a more dynamic quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Baker's also improving, by the way. Number three, your Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, Steelers have a great defense. In a division with some good defenses, the Browns and the Ravens, the Steelers have the best one. And they got the best coach in a division with some good coaches, in Mike Tomlin. He's an all-time great. Tomlin, no excuses. He just never finished below 500 in his entire career. Roethlisberger goes down. Your second string quarterback goes down. No excuses. Tomlin just wins. The worst he's ever done is 8-8. That was last year. Oh, sorry. That was 2 years ago. Then he got Roethlisberger back off a catastrophic injury. 38 years old. Can't push the ball down the field. Offensive line can't block for the run. And it hurts because Roethlisberger is making the adjustment to get rid of the ball fast. Remember, most of his career he held on to. Big, strong guy. Throwing the ball down the field was a much different quarterback. I credit Roethlisberger and Tomlin for making that adjustment because he was really effective for most of the year. Like, really, is Roethlisberger going to have a bounce-back year? That was his bounce-back year. Last year was his bounce-back year. But he showed his age by the end of the season. And also, when you can't block for the run, it's made even worse when your quarterback's dinking and dunking because now the defense is playing up. So as though they're not ready enough for the run, you know, now they're playing up on you anyway. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will have the same problem with the offense. Now, they draft a really good running back in Harris, but even then, it really comes down to line play. And I get the point. If you're not having a run-based offense, if the offensive line is not aggressive, you know, because you're not calling a lot of running plays, that'll tend to make them even worse. So let's say they advance a little bit there. Okay, the running game will get a little better. How much better? I don't think as much as people think. I think that makes the Steelers the third best team in the division, but they have Tomlin going for them. He will have them very competitive until the end. And that wraps up the AFC North, right? Oh, there's another team in the AFC North? The Bengals can't be dismissed like the Lions can be dismissed in the NFC North because Joe Burrow is a potential superstar, and they went and got him a potential superstar receiver with whom he is familiar. However, he needs protection on the offensive line. Well, he got hurt in the first place, right? And they passed on Sewell, they passed on a potential offensive line protection in order to draft the dynamic receiver. The Bengals have not shown themselves to be an organization that's serious about making deep runs in the playoffs. Joe Burrow can change all that. And I expect that to happen going forward, but not yet. They have a lot of work to do on that roster first. They have a foundation, no question. But I don't see them competing with the Browns, who I see as a double-digit win team, especially in a 17-game season. The Ravens, who I also see as a double-digit win team. And the Steelers, who I see as an above 500 team. That leaves the Bengals in fourth place. And there's my AFC. By the way, they're also the worst defensive team of the bunch. Did I mention that? Like, the Steelers are the best. They're great. The Ravens are a very good defensive team. The Browns are good. And the Bengals aren't very good. Right? Like that. So on top of everything else, they're the worst defensive team. I expect them to finish fourth, as the rest of the universe does. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. This show is presented by Progressive Insurance, of course. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Naomi Osaka was at the podium again. My thoughts coming up on Last Take. Did you know that the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Well, maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March, for example. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Not a job, a career. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Last Take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. That's one of the all-time great songs, period. Thuggish Ruggish Bone. Oh, you just got to give it up. Kids from Cleveland, boy, they were doing it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, Bone Thugs. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? I can tell you it was a fine radio program. Hear Joe Theismann like you've never heard him before. Hear Jeff Darlington like you've never heard him before. You can hear me like you can hear me every day for 2 hours. It's quite a thing. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Naomi Osaka reflects on being in the spotlight after her victory defeating Coco Gauff at the Western and Southern Open on Wednesday. Osaka said she was reflecting since briefly leaving, then returning to Monday's news conference. Remember, it made all those waves. Quote, I was wondering why I was so affected, Osaka said. Like, what made me not want to do media in the first place? And then I was thinking, I was wondering if I was scared, because sometimes I would see headlines of players losing, and then the headline the next day would be like a collapse, or they're not that great anymore. I found this very interesting, too. It's great when you have, like, the very best athletes in the world are interesting, thoughtful people. You understand what Naomi Osaka is saying? Because none of us can relate to the kind of pressure she's felt since she's a little girl. Tennis players get good young, and they're identified young, and they see the world young, and they're not leading normal lives from an early age. And Naomi Osaka's been under immense pressure her whole life, obviously. But she's saying, basically, look, I feel like I'm doing a lot of good things.
And I almost feel guilty about it. Like, there's stuff going on. Her father's Haitian. Her mother's Japanese. And there are things going on in Haiti. Like, Haiti's one of the most impoverished countries in the world. And in over the course of this century so far, since 2000, let's say, over the course of the last two decades plus, Haiti has little by little been ascending. Things have been getting a little better. And then this earthquake hits, just what they need, right? It's not the only earthquake to ever hit Haiti. And so Naomi Osaka's aware of that, aware of what's going on in Afghanistan. She's aware of what's happening in the world and is thinking, look, I'm lucky to be playing tennis in the United States. And I should feel good about that. She wants to appreciate that, be thankful for it. But instead, she winds up feeling guilty because if she talks to the media, a lot of the bad stuff will be pointed out, she feels, if she doesn't win, right? If she doesn't rise to the pressure, the occasion of the pressure. And she doesn't want to be made to feel like, oh, wait a minute, I did something bad. I lost. That's bad. I should just be happy to be leading the existence I'm leading. But I can't even show appreciation for that. That can be misinterpreted as me not caring about winning. It's a tough spot to be in. Now, I know a lot of people could say, oh, cry me a river. She's rich and famous and da-da-da-da. That wasn't handed to her. She didn't, like, just win the lottery. She had to sacrifice a normal life. Not only did she have to be genetically blessed, but she had to work diligently at it and then sacrifice a normal life to get there. She didn't scratch a lottery ticket. So she's being forthright. She didn't duck the question, avoid anything. I think it does point out when people were calling this reporter from the Cincinnati Inquirer a bully, Osaka's agent said that. That's ridiculous. He wasn't, at least not then, he wasn't bullying at all. And in fact, his question was thoughtful and interesting and elicited a response from Naomi Osaka that engaged her, or he engaged her intellectually and emotionally, and it elicited a thoughtful response. Then the emotion came, and then a couple days later, she comes back to it and brings it up again because she wants to fully answer it. No, that shed light on earlier. I was talking about how Draymond conducted an interview with KD, and even if you want to say he didn't bring up this or that, Stephen A. was bringing up on First Take today, he didn't bring up Steph Curry, and others have brought up, well, he didn't hold his feet to the fire, you know, about like what's the front office. I said that. You couldn't work it out yourselves. Don't blame the front office. And that's the role of more traditional media, to ask those questions and not let them kind of slide in a safe space, safe environment, his friend's podcast, right? But I thought, on the other hand, Draymond got genuine, candid responses out of KD. First of all, that illuminated KD in a way that a normal interview with like a media type would not have. And I would say that here we see with Naomi Osaka, traditional media asking a question at a press conference, which is a traditional kind of place for media to ask questions, that also illuminated a part of Naomi Osaka that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And, you know, that's what I think about that. How do you like that, Raj? That's my whole take. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. I got to say, before I get out of here, I want to talk about Cam Newton and Mac Jones tonight. Cam Newton, Belichick seems to like everything about his character. He likes his work ethic. He likes his determination and competitiveness and leadership abilities. Belichick seems to be a fan of that. But you got to be able to hit those tight ends consistently and then also throw the ball down the field, right? You got to be good in the passing offense. And Cam, that was never Cam's forte. He could do it, but it wasn't his forte. And they have a guy in Mac Jones who obviously Nick Saban loved and obviously Belichick is very high on to spend a first-round pick on him. Well, he fell to 15. Belichick doesn't spend first-round picks on quarterbacks. He just doesn't. Never does. He did with Mac Jones. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the idea of starting a rookie when you have a competitive team, and Belichick's invested a lot of money, a lot of Robert Kraft's money in building a competitive team. You know, part of Tom Brady taking a hike was, I keep taking pay cuts, essentially, or redoing my contract to free up money because you haven't been drafting well, and you're not spending my money right. I don't have any weapons. How much time do I have, Brendan? Okay. Thank you. And it's hard to imagine Bill Belichick going out and spending the money he did on receivers and tight ends, especially, which are very important to the success of the New England offense, and bringing back the defense and all that. More money than they've ever spent in free agency that I can recall. hard to imagine him handing over the reins to a rookie, even if the rookie seems to have earned it in camp, over a veteran who Belichick likes and seems to trust based on their experience last year. Remember, COVID year, practice facility shut down, no preseason, coming off a catastrophic injury for Cam, a year off, new system. He got COVID, still only two plays away from a 9-7 record. But tonight's quarterback competition is must-see TV. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.